Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
Coming up on this episode of The Entrepreneurial You,
people will look at who you associate with, and they will judge you on that. So you can have positive brand associations if you're associating with someone else who's considered big in the industry or with a product that's very popular.
You cannot buy engagement. You have to build engagement. Tara, Nicole, and Nelson, how are you, my people former? I hope you're doing great. I hope you've been having an epic day and an epic week, an epic life, actually, in spite of what's going on in this current atmosphere. Nonetheless, here I am bringing you episode 215 of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. I'm your host, Henneka Watkus Porter. Today's episode is with Jane Tabachnik. And Jane is a content and PR strategist who works with mission-driven authors, coaches, and consultants who are frustrated they're not better known. She helps them become highly visible and seen as the authority in their industry so that they can attract more pre-sold clients and can grow their business more readily and easily. Named one of the top 100 people online by Fast Company, Jane is often quoted in the media. So I'm really, really looking forward to our conversation, what we're going to be having about around why celebrity brands charge more and how to build one. Welcome, Jane.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, Henneka.
Absolutely. Before we dive in, what's your favorite thing about Jamaica?
Jamaica. Oh, my goodness. The lush greenery.
All right. So I'm taking it that you have heard something about Jamaica because I just went in and just asked you that. And you have been. Awesome sauce.
I have.
Awesome sauce. Alrighty. Okay. So you are like big on PR and celebrity and branding and all of these things. How did you get started, Jane?
So I actually started as a fashion designer. And as a fashion designer, I needed to get more visibility for my designs. And what I found that when I would reach out to buyers, they hadn't heard of me. So they weren't really very interested. But once I got a little bit of press, when I called them, it was like a warm call. Oh, I was looking forward to talking to you. I want to see your design. So it just opened the door. It changed the whole equation.
Really, really interesting story that you've told. And I can relate because I actually started off as a fashion designer too, with my brand being Pato Apparel. And, you know, I started out and, you know, going into the with the press and on TV, on radio. And so I was able to build up a brand awareness with that. So I can totally relate. And so since then, you have moved on to be working with, you know, with clients as a content and PR strategist. Now, tell me a little bit about what you look for in your client. Where are they when they come to see you?
Yeah, great question. So a lot of the clients come to see me and they already have a business or they've been in business and they're starting something new. They've got an idea, but they're not necessarily as well known as they'd like to be. So they've achieved some good things. They're on a mission. So I work with people who are looking to make a difference in the world. They can be related to health, related to helping people in business, helping moms, whatever it is they're looking to do. But just people who are interested in making a difference, but also having a successful business because profit and making a difference are not mutually exclusive. So they come to me with wanting that visibility, and they want to do it in an authentic way, and they want some help with doing that because some of them are really not that comfortable in the spotlight, but they know that they need that visibility to reach the people that they want to work with, to help, to impact. And so that visibility is what is going to help them get the message out there, reach more people, and grow their business the way that they're looking to.
So obviously they're coming to you because, yeah, they really want to get more visibility and all of that. And obviously you also believe that, you know, celebrity brands can charge more. And I want to know why you believe that celebrity brands charge more than, you know, quote unquote, the average Joe. Why?
Yeah. So I think that we here in the U.S. and I think a lot of Western countries are celebrity obsessed. And so we look to celebrities. We want to be near them. We want to associate with them, whether it's following them on social media, commenting, watching their reality shows, whatever it is, we want to connect with them. And so the opportunity to work with them is very desirable, and people not only expect to pay more, they're willing to pay more.
Mm, they're willing to pay more. And so one of the things that you do, you help persons get to that stage where they're, you know, almost celebrity status, you know, and they're building their celebrity brands. I think a lot of my listeners right now are interested in learning, you know, how can I become a celebrity? Can I even, is it even possible for me to be an entrepreneur and be a brand, a celebrity brand? You know, how is that possible? How do you help persons to become one? How do you build that celebrity status?
Yeah, I love that question. So I just first would like to clarify the definition of celebrity. So for
yes,
some
please.
People,
yes, please.
Yes, please. So for some people, it means that Bravo is calling you up and offering you your own reality TV show. But the truth is, for a lot of people, that's not the goal. So you don't have to be that kind of celebrity to be recognized. You could be a star athlete. You could be someone who's doing amazing things in your community. And you can be a big fish in a small pond to be a celebrity. So the way I help my clients is to be a celebrity to their audience. So some people are interested in global TV, internet fame, that kind of thing. But for most people, it's really valuable to be the celebrity to their audience, because that's really who they're trying to speak to. So how do you do that? So it's really about being strategic. It's about being visible and being visible in the right places. So when I start to work with someone, what I want to know and what it's important for them to know is where their audience spends time, what matters to their audience, and to be very intentional about then putting your content in those places, being visible in those places. And who else does your audience look up to as an influencer, as a thought leader, and to be interacting with those people, because people will look at who you associate with and they will judge you on that. So you can have positive brand associations if you're associating with someone else who's considered big in the industry or with a product that's very popular.
Developing a strategy, what are some of the thought process that one needs to put into coming, you know, putting a strategy together? I know you have your clients with that, but what are some of the things somebody who's doing it on their own needs to be thinking about?
Yeah, I think it's really, the first thing is sometimes it takes a mindset shift. So one of the important things that we work on, and a lot of my clients are naturally this way, but really being what I call a go-giver, and there's a book by that name by Bob Berg. And so that's the concept that I mean. And we actually have a process I call hug an influencer. And an influencer can be someone who's top in the field. It can be some media that you're looking to reach out to and connect with and maybe pitch at some point. And following their content, liking it, commenting, sharing, supporting them. And by doing that, you're first of all helping them, but you're also getting on their radar. And it's amazing the kind of relationships that are built that way and the opportunities that happen just because of doing that. For example, one of my clients started doing this with someone who is a multiple New York Times bestselling author, and she ended up in a short space of time having a conversation with him and then getting the opportunity to interview him in a public forum. So that was an incredible opportunity for her. And now she's associated with his brand, whereas she didn't have that kind of credibility or clout before.
Right. You know, it's interesting because even as I prepared for this conversation with you this morning, I remember, well, even before I looked on what my schedule is for today, I was reflecting on what a celebrity really means. And I was in my head rejecting the fact that, or the thought that I could be a celebrity, right? But when I think about it, the more I recognize that, you know, I need to own it, because in the regard in my field, when it comes onto my field, yes, I'm a celebrity. Yes, I'm a game changer. You know, associating, like I'm doing a live event coming up with Lisa Nichols. I'm interviewing Seth Godin, right? And so
I saw that.
Yes, and I'd love to have you there. And so it's interesting that, you know, you get to associate with these people, and it is easier than you think. And I'd like to kind of get from you, Jane, the fact that I know that it's easier than you think to do, right? What do you tell your clients in terms of reaching out or trying to be in the space with persons like those who are well known and known for different things around the world?
Yeah, so I think, again, it's a question of mindset and just the approach. So if you think about it, someone like Lisa Nichols is approached by a lot of people and they ask for who knows what, free consultations to, you know, be on a podcast. There are a lot of asks and not a lot of give back. So there's just the expectation that, you know, they want to associate with her and they ask. And that's great. I mean, you have to be bold. You have to make asks. But it's a lot more successful if you're able to give something first, which is where the hug an influencer comes in, by following them, sharing, liking. You're already giving them some what I call social love and support. And so they see that. And so if you can do something like that or find out what's important to them, maybe they're launching a book and they're really interested in promoting the book and you know someone who could have them on the podcast so they could talk about the book, or you have an audience to promote the book to, if you offer to help them with that, they're going to be a lot more receptive to whatever it is you might be looking to achieve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that, I mean, Seth Godin was a perfect example. He was just released The Practice, Shipping Creative Work in November. And so when I did the 200th episode for the Entrepreneurial You podcast, I thought, you know, it would have been a great win-win for both of us. And so, you know, he got the opportunity to promote his book and here we are, you know, with him on the 200th episode and so on. So I get it. I get it. And I yes. love the work that you're doing. Yeah.
Yes. And it's simple. It really doesn't take much or cost anything to do that. Most of us are on social media already. And, you know, it's really hard when you're putting out content, whether you're posting or you've got a podcast or a blog or a newsletter, and you put it out there and you don't hear anything. You don't get reviews. No one leaves a comment. No one shares it. You start to question yourself. Even the best of us start to think, well, that laid an egg. And you start having negative self-talk, which is not productive. So if you can be that person who comments, likes, shares, and lets the person know that their blog post really changed your life or meant something to you, and only do this authentically.
Yes, yes. Don't spam or you know, just be there just because.
Yeah, but think of something to say that, you know, dig inside and figure out, how did that touch me? How did that affect me? What, or can I ask a question related to that and make some kind of comment? And that really makes a difference.
Yes, I remember too. I mean, when I had John Lee Dumas, he was my first guest, and just highly involved and engaged with him and what he was doing, you know, that brought him on the show and he brought him doing my audio bumper and so on. So it's, again, it's easier. It's always easier than we think, right?
Yes.
Well, easier than a lot of people think, because we always approach things from the perspective of, you know, just me getting something. But the fact is, we all are tuned to this, what I like to call the station of WIIFM. What's in it for
Absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely. Yes. So true.
Right. We're all tuned into that. And if we can feed, right, just take ourselves out of the equation when we are going forward. Somebody on my podcast, when I was talking about Seth's episode, and I mentioned this the second time in a conversation, which means that it's something that really stands out. So somebody reached out to me, you know, I sent them the information to join the episode with Seth Godin, that recording. And they reach out to me and ask me, you know, they would love to get guests like these on their show. How do I do it? I mean, yes, she was tuned into her, wasn't it, for me? But not even a congratulations. Here you are, a 200th episode.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll be happy to join the show, or I really would love to join, but I can't. And then move into that. It was a straight, I want these people on my show. How do you do it? And I'm like, well, the first thing I do, I find out what they really need and I give. So I hope she got the point.
Yes, and some people won't, you know. And look, I'm a born and bred New Yorker, and I'm kind of a cut to the chase kind of person in conversation, but that's not how it works when you're interacting, especially if you don't know someone, and especially if you want something.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I'm a big cut to the chase person too. Like I say it like it is. I just get to the point. But situations, you cannot do a one size fit all. And I'm sure that you recognize that even in your work with your clients, like what one does, they cannot have that same approach. Yes, you have a template, I believe, but you don't find that that's one approach will work for everybody.
So true.
Right. So tell us a little about some of the successes you've been having where your clients are concerned. And, you know, have you come to the point where you're turning away some type of clients and you're only working with a particular segment?
Yeah. So successes that my clients have had that, you know, I've helped them have are, I had a an author recently have a profile in Entrepreneur magazine. Another client, we were able to secure a column, an ongoing column in the Wall Street Journal. And another client, we were able to get an Entrepreneur on Fire podcast. So, you know, my clients are all different. So it's not, they're not all looking for the same publications. And that's where the one size fits all concept really comes in. You know, the Wall Street Journal columnist is a tech financial company. So there was a fit there, you know, might not be a fit for an author who's a spiritual health coach who I work with. So, you know, you have to know where their audience is and where the fit is. And in terms of I'm sorry, what was the second part of the question?
In terms of the type of client that you work with, do you say, you know, I'm only working with this segment and I'm not going to be taking clients who are doing A, B, or C and only working with D, E, and F, for example?
Yeah, so for me, them being a change maker in some way is important. I do work primarily with authors, but not only authors or people who want to become authors, because I think books are such a great authority positioning piece in your suite of tools and media assets. But I'd say the people I don't work with or turn away are just people who have unrealistic expectations. Maybe they want to be on the cover of a magazine next week. And I get a lot of that. You know, PR is very misunderstood, or they don't seem coachable to me. And that's really important, because I don't expect anyone to come in understanding how becoming visible, becoming a celebrity in their niche, or getting PR works. Sometimes it's a process of really learning it. They have a bit of an idea about it, but some of it is not really the way it works when the rubber hits the road. So I just have to have a sense that they are coachable and that we're going to be able to work together to reach their goals, and that it may not happen overnight. You know, PR is a funny thing. PR meaning any kind of media. You're not in control. It's not like you have a blog and you can just publish your blog post when you want. You're reaching out to the media saying, we have a story, we think it would be great for your audience. And then it's up to them if they choose to run it and when they choose to run it. Just like pitching podcasts, you know, you approach a host, and even if they want to have you on, they may have a schedule. They may be booking 2 months from now and the episode may not air for another 4 months. So, and they're all different. All the timelines are different. So just working with people who can understand that and work with that. And they're willing to have a number of different wins maybe before they get the big win, because the big win doesn't happen. There, you know, there's almost never that overnight success or overnight celebrity. There are many things, many steps, many failures, many pitches that flopped on the way to that success, but people don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And overnight success, I normally say is usually 10 years in the making.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes. So someone who is listening now, who doesn't right now, because you're perhaps you're starting out, don't have the funds to invest in themselves and their business right now to, you know, get a coach like you and a consultant, how can they develop? What one piece of advice would you give to them to build their brand so that they can get the notoriety and the publicity that they deserve to put their good work out there?
Yeah. So I would say know who your audience is and where they spend time. Are they mostly on Twitter, on Facebook? And then spend time. And it can be two platforms. You don't have to be on every platform, but spend time on those platforms, providing content, commenting on their content, and then connecting with other people in the industry, the influencers or the gurus, if you will, or people that you think are doing a great job and that you would like to be associated with. Spend time cultivating those relationships, so when you do feel like you're ready, they'll know who you are, they'll appreciate you, and they may even invite you to participate in some way before you even think you're ready.
Absolutely. Know who your audience is and where they spend time. That's solid advice, Jane Tabachnik. And it has been such an amazing pleasure speaking with you. But we have come pretty much to the end of our conversation. I'm going to ask you this time, Jane, to share your contact details. And I know you have a giveaway for our audience members.
Yes. So the best way to reach me is at simplygoodpress.com. And if you go there, I have a visibility assessment. It's a very short assessment, but what it will do is give you an idea of how you're doing and what opportunities there might be for you to get more visibility. And then I have a nice video explaining some steps you can take.
And that's simplygoodpress.com.
Yes.
Awesome sauce. Thank you, Jane. You have been insightful. You have shared information and you shared your expertise and your knowledge of how we can build the celebrity status that we want. And celebrity being defined not necessarily in the broad term, you know, Hollywood kind of a term, but in terms of being aware, being, you know, made aware of in your community, being able to influence your community. So thank you so much, Jane.
Thanks, Hanneke. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you, my peak performer, for tuning into this episode with Jane Tabachnik. I look forward to connecting with you next week. In the meantime, remember to connect with me for all things podcasting. So you can grab my book, my coaching, my online course. If you want me to produce your podcast for you, just go to HennekeWatkinsPorter.com and send me a WhatsApp message from my homepage and I will get right back to you. And this week's point of hope: for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. What good?
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.